Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mitchell Moses, apparently, a report has been released that he has allegedly been offered over $1 million a year and he is yet to take the contract. Now, if I ever saw Porky's, this is fucking Porky's. If this is true, honestly, I'd bet money on that this isn't true because I do not believe for a second that the Eels, we have to give the Eels credit. They built a team to get to a grand final. And there was a lot of, we remember yesterday, like the last few years, they had issues with the Clint Gutherson contract. You know, they were lowballing. He wanted a bit more and all that kind of stuff. So they've stuck to their systems. So you're telling me that a club that just lost a bunch of players because they, you know, could get more elsewhere, all of a sudden is arguably paying more than $1 million for Mitchell Moses? I think this is a potential tactical release to make Mitchell Moses seem like he's not grateful or he overvalues his contributions. Guys, are we calling Porky Pies on this? What do you reckon, Guru?
Yeah, I mean, a halfback that was just in a grand final in a team that I think is going to be top six once again, getting offered over $1 million, as you said, at a club that traditionally lowballs players. I don't know how we're expected to buy this in any way, shape or form.
Craziness. Yeah. Even some people would feel like $1 million is too much. You know, is Mitch Moses $1 million? Me personally, I think he's around 850 to 900. I'd pay him around that. Over $1 million. And also the bizarreness of the report of over $1 million and he's yet to accept. It's kind of like, so he hasn't declined it. Like, what's the problem? So what, because he didn't answer in a fucking week's time. Even if it was true, let's say it was true. What if he's just trying to make sure all the smaller things in the contract? Anyway, I don't believe it. Timmy, what do you reckon? Porky Pies or real?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Pork Pies, doesn't it? There are probably two things to it. The first one is that in terms of upgrading a contract for potentially, as I said, allegedly over $1 million, you know, they're coming off a grand final. When teams make grand finals where they win it or lose it, basically across your entire roster, nearly everyone is looking for upgrades that next year or the year after because they've earned it and proven they're grand final worthy footballers. So it seems immense to upgrade him to potentially over $1 million in coming years. And secondly, if it is true, just what psychopath wouldn't take over $1 million a year and just lock it in and say, I'll take that deal, how long for, let's go. Yep. Because you'd have to be a unbelievably confident in your abilities and in your body not to take that up straight away.
Like immediately, as soon as it comes through the contract, boom, I'm signing that immediately. On top of all of that, you're telling me Parra Eels, and again, in a positive way, the way they built their roster, they've been pretty hard ball on their system. They got to the grand final. Their roster is amazing. You're telling me they're going to offer Mitchell Moses $1.2 million. Meanwhile, Dylan Brown is coming off contract. Give me a break. Give me a break. I mean, you may as well sign the contract for Dylan Brown to leave if you're going to offer Mitchell Moses $1 million it is. The only way they probably keep both players is if they're both under $1 million. Like, there's no way they won't, because we know now, we're pretty sure anyway, that the Dolphins are offering a substantial contract for Dylan Brown. I think Dylan Brown has, even though he's still got so much more to prove in the game, so much more to do, I think after the World Cup, we can all agree this kid is, he's there or thereabouts in regards to the next best, next big 5'8", in the sense of the 22-year-old number six. If you were to place bets on who is going to go on to dominate the comp for the next few years or whatever as a six, as the youth, it's probably Dylan Brown. Fair?
Yeah, for sure.
And so thoughts on the regards to if it is $1 million, do they lose Dylan Brown? Do you think they're going to be able to keep both?
Yeah, I agree with what you said. I think they're going to be able to keep both if they're on $1 million contracts. And I think without a doubt, one of them is going to get that big offer from the Dolphins. Probably both of them, depending on which one wants to go or whatever. But yeah, I think that they would both have to be well under $1 million to be able to keep both of them. When you have a look at the rest of that squad, we've got Josh Hodgson arriving too, who, you know, obviously aging, but I don't think he'd be on that much of a small contract as well. And I know people, he's coming off an ACL. He signed that before the ACL.
And he still had time to run on his contract at the Raiders as well.
So I don't see how they would have that sort of money to...
You got Junior Polo, RCG, both had arguably one of their better years of their career. You got Clint Gutherson, who was obviously minimum 700, rightly so as a captain.
Yeah, Maddo would be on a good wicket.
He'll
be looking for serious upgrades after last year.
Yeah, fuck. And he just extended too, didn't he, at the end of the year? Yeah, so look, I think as we always say, guys, like obviously there are most reports are true or accurate or they're accurate for the time. So they've been told information and that information changes. We're not saying all journalists make stuff up at all. But sometimes, just like when we're talking about like the RLPA situation and the CBA, when we said before the week that it all happened, there may be stories that come out that suit a certain narrative or whatever. In regards to contract negotiations, sometimes it helps to make a player look either greedy, it puts pressure on them to, you know, take whatever. The player doesn't usually have the ability to come out and say, hang on a sec, that's not true. And to be fair, look, I understand why clubs do it. Like, they're looking at the best interest of the club. They're trying to make sure that they get players for the least amount of money so they can win comps. It's winning comps, and it's a fine balance. So there's no real you can't blame them for it. It's more just identifying, like, okay, what is real and what is not. What is going to suit a narrative, what's not going to suit a narrative. But, yeah, I don't think Mitchell Moses has been offered over by the Eels, that is.
I mean, if they're waiting on a response from Mitch, he just went all the way to a grand final. He went to a World Cup. He's probably enjoying a month of time away from rugby league. Let him. Fuck.
Yeah, craziness. Over $1 million. Wow. Seriously. I'd fly straight back and sign that contract that day. Fucking hell. And what's really interesting with the Eels, though, is that I don't think there were a few years, like probably what was it, like 2-3 years ago, where they were under heavy fire by the way they were handling certain re-signing, certain extensions. And there was, I think, was it Brad Arthur or one of the board or whatever came out and said, no, we've got it. We've decided to completely flip things on the head, put in a system in place that basically we're going to stick to. And so the Para board and their recruitment and all the whole team, they deserve massive raps for the way they've, 2017 they won a spoon? 16? Around that? Yeah, since they changed their systems like up top, they become a powerhouse. So they deserve massive, massive raps for that, for sure. For sure. But I, gun to head, do they keep both? Does Mitch leave? Does Dill leave?
I really hope they keep both. I do feel like they're building something pretty special out there. They're obviously losing a number of very talented players this year, but I think the one thing we've got to remember with Parramatta is that, mate, everyone they've brought into this system over the last 3 years has turned into a weapon. Mm. Isaiah Papali'i arrived there as, he was unwanted at the Warriors. He wasn't getting a bait in that team. Best forward in the league all of a sudden. You got Reid Marnie, his improvement. So I really do hope they keep both of them. But, and I feel like I've been saying it for 12 months now, but the longer the Dolphins go without that big signing, the more nervous I'd be if I was Parramatta.
What do you reckon, Timmy? Gun to the head.
Gun to the head, I'd probably let him pull the trigger because I don't know. But I think the Dolphins just play such a big role in all this because the Dolphins in the next, 3 to 6 months, next 3 months, they have to announce this big halves signing on $1.2 million or something. And you know, Para look like one of these key targets for Moses or a Bound. So, like, if in a week's time the Dolphins go and sign someone like Jerome Hughes, well, I'd go, yep, all right. All of a sudden, it becomes very feasible that they can hold on to both Brown and Moses. But just that lingering Dolphins cap space has me thinking there's a club that, you know, they could be turned on their head as a result of whoever the Dolphins can snare.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. All right, gun to head, I think they keep both. I don't know. I think I just see, like, Mitchell Moses has built something so great there, in my opinion. I don't think he gets enough respect for where that he's taken that club. And I think Dylan Brown, yes, obviously, you know, you want to make as much money as you can. But I also think he's the kind of player that would be willing to maybe take a little bit less for the beginning of his career. Not that there's anything wrong if he goes and takes the big deal, not at all. But I don't know. I think the connection of Gutho, Moses and Dylan Brown, when you see them interacting with each other on and off the field, I think that's what's going to keep him. It's not going to be the extra 200K or whatever. I think it's going to be how much, because you have to remember Dylan Brown, he came over as a 15 or 16 year old kid from New Zealand just to make it. Didn't come over with his family. And so the connection that he would have with, like, those players in that system, it'd almost be like a second family to him to a degree. Again, all assumptions here, but if I was a 15-year-old that left my country to New Zealand and I didn't bring my family over, whatever, and Gutho and Mitch and that had taken me under their wing, it'd be hard to leave.
I imagine also coming off that grand final loss, getting so close. Like, I hope I'm proven wrong with the Dolphins, but I can't see them being in that position in the next 5 years or so, in my opinion. So, fuck, I reckon that'd make it. I mean, if they would have won that comp last year as a ball player, do you then sort of go, maybe now I go and get
big contract, big
payday?
Yeah, yeah.
Which, as you said, I've got nothing against them chasing coin. Go make your bag, boys, 100%. But I reckon getting close, so close to winning a comp and not getting it done, it'd be tough to walk out on, I think.
And it'd be interesting, Kempy, because if they do, you mentioned how they've notoriously in recent seasons, they've changed their approach to managing their salary cap to, you know, not pay over for players, saying, you know, we'll fit you into this. And it's proven very effective in recent years, obviously the grand final last season.
Mm.
If they do keep those two halves in particular on anywhere around the sort of 900K mark, on top of Gutho, on top of Hodjo, who, as Guru said, the fact that he signed the contract before his ACL means he'd still be on a pretty decent chunk of money.
Mm.
It probably changes that salary cap management, because they're going, I don't want to say entirely that Melbourne Storm approach back, well, for years and years, where they get their spine absolute world class and build around that.
Mm.
And then they sort of just put in players who can do a job on bugger all money around those four players. Well, if they do manage to keep their, particularly Gutho, who you would imagine is going, no, he's the heart and soul of that club, yep, at the moment, and the halves, well, then it might cost him in the future, Junior Bolo, Ryan Madison, who will be inevitably getting upgrades on their contracts. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach this in coming years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the good thing for them is, as you mentioned, Guru, they've proven over the last few years they can actually develop players now. Like, players are coming there and getting better, which is such a strong part of recruitment, because if you don't have that, all of a sudden that really key ingredient of being able to pay less for a player is gone. You just have to be strike while the iron's hot and somehow land a player that just is the best in the comp or whatever, and then he changes everything. Whereas Parra have an extra, it's like the Storm, like that is arguably their strongest recruitment tool, is the fact they develop players, get you for unders, you know you're going to be great, and then they build a squad around it. And so it is interesting that with the Eels, I wonder whether they're really aware of that and they are potentially willing to lose some of a big dog. Not in the spine, I agree, Timmy, in regards to, like, you keep your spine together and you just keep developing. I mean, look at Sean Lane, the bloke he's turned into, like the player he's turned into. Papali'i. You know, Madison went from a bench player at the Roosters, even though that Roosters side was stacked, that won a premiership, to, you know, fuck, unstoppable. Dylan Brown's improvement has been incredible. Mitchell Moses' improvement. I mean, think about the Mitchell Moses that rocked up to the Eels.
Mm.
Incredible ball player, like just the silkiest ball playing you'd ever see. Defensive of an issue, in and out of games, kicking sometimes could be an issue. Whereas outside of obviously the semi-final, how much has Mitchell rounded his game out where you're like, you know what, I'm actually not that worried about him in defense. Matter of fact, we spoke about it. Cowboys, semi-final, Taumalolo, who chopped him down? Mitchell Moses. And that's all part of development.
And as you said, like with their development, you even have a look through the rest of the squad, like Marasa Neokora, like whenever he comes into the team, he's been killing it.
Yeah.
You know, your Oregon Kafusi, he's already been snapped up. You know, Nia Corey's been snapped up, but like they've shown such a tendency to get the very best out of guys. And if I'm a halfback looking at which club I'm going to sign with, I'm looking straight at my front row and going, who's the guys I'm going to be playing behind?
Mm.
I look up at the Dolphins, good front rowers, but they're aging.
Mm.
Or I look at my team and I've got, what, three of the four best front rowers are at the World Cup.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I know where I'm going.
Yep.
And like the if Dylan Brown keeps playing like this, that big contract will come. It just depends on how far they're lowballing him. You know, like, is it a Reed? I'm not sure what happened in the Reed Marnie situation, but for him to leave, it seems like he was, like, majorly lowballed because he doesn't seem like a guy that, like, he doesn't seem, he's, I mean, you can see the way he plays. Like, he does everything for the team. So, interesting time of the Eels, but, yeah, I don't know if Mitchell Moses is getting offered over $1 million and he hasn't paid.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.